So Pastor Van was teaching us that, you know, capacity, we looked at how big the container was. The width, the height, the depth of the container. Okay. So this is capacity part two. And this is, yes, it does depend on the width and the height and the depth of the capacity of the container, but it also depends on what you already have in the container. So I'll share this story with you. You may have read it on Facebook, and you know, I'm sure it probably happened somewhere. I don't know if it happened exactly the way they describe on Facebook. You just never know how these stories evolved. But it certainly is a true illustration, okay? So if you want to just picture in your mind, I did not bring a trash can and a thermos and a cooler and a pitcher and a cup. So you're just going to have to imagine with me today, okay? So the story goes that this professor gets before his class, and Andrew's going to college next week. Woo! So praying for him there, and mom and dad at home, and believing for God to just do fantastic things. And he's going to come back and be with us most Sundays, I think. So, yay! So we'll get to hear reports and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so anyway, this professor gets up in front of the class, and he has this, like, picture a big, isn't it a 10-gallon pickle jar? Okay, so he unscrews it, and he reaches down, and he gets some nice size rocks. So he starts dropping these rocks into this jar. And it starts filling up and filling up. So finally he can't put any more in. So he turns to the class and he says, okay, so now is the jar full? And they all yell, yeah, it's full. You can't put any more rocks in. Okay. So then he reaches down and he gets a bag of pebbles. You know, like decorative pebbles you'd have in your fish tank or around your plants. And he starts pouring them in and shaking and pouring them in and shaking, pouring them in and shaking, and they're making their way in between the rocks, and now they're up to the top. And he goes, so class, now is it full? And they go, oh, yeah, we didn't think about that the first time. Yep, now it's full. I said, okay. So then he comes over and he reaches down and he gets a big cup of sand. And he pours the sand in and shakes and shakes and shakes. So now it's filled up the sand. And they go, okay, now you did it. Now it's full. Boy, you really got us. We thought it was full first time, second time, third time. He goes, so now you're sure, you're confident. It's completely full. Nothing else can go in that jar. Yep, yep, we're full. So now he gets out a pitcher of water, and he starts pouring the water in. So the illustration that applies to us is, what's filling our container? See, there wasn't a whole lot of room for the water of the Holy Spirit when we had it filled with so many other things. So some of those things that could be in there could be things that are just life. I mean, you have work, you have family, you have responsibilities. But then some of those other things, those pebbles, are things that we allow in there. So we're going to look at a couple things today. What is it that maybe we allowed in there that we need to get out so that there's more room for the Holy Spirit? So we came in this morning. We come into early morning prayer. And there's usually three, four, five of us. And two of the people that shared what they felt God was saying to them that morning or prayed was about that God wants all of us. And I said to them, oh, you just wait till my message comes a little later. So they got us set up in prayer so that we're able to hear today that he's concerned about some things that we have in our jar. And he wants us to make more room for him. So how do we know what's in there? Because sometimes we just aren't even aware of it. Well, the scripture gives us the example in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart, and show me if there's any ways in there that shouldn't be in there. So we can just ask that. God, have I put stuff inside me, in my heart, in my mind, in my thoughts, in my life, that you really don't want there, and that's keeping you from having all of the influence and the capacity you want. The other way we know, which this gets a little tricky, Luke 6 says the mouth speaks whatever is in the heart. So you can keep an eye on what you're speaking during the week, because what you're speaking comes out of what you've allowed in there. Ouch, Pastor Steve, right at the very beginning, right? All right, so Psalms 27, if you want to turn with me. Psalms is great because it's so honest. David is sharing, this is exactly my struggles. This is exactly where I am. This is specifically what I need God to do. And then God meets him. So I want us to learn a couple things as we read through Psalm 27. And remember, we're talking about capacity, things that we may have in there that we've allowed in there or that we've permitted to stay there that maybe the Lord doesn't want us to have in there. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom or what shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom or what shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh and my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me. Wow, sometimes life feels like that, doesn't it? How many things can camp against us? My heart will not fear. The war rise against me, in spite of this, I will be confident. Where did he get that confidence from? One thing I have asked from the Lord, and that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Come on, that's where his confidence came from. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. In other words, David ran into his presence. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear me, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me, and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said, your face, O Lord, I will seek. Is that our response? God is saying, seek me, come into my house, dwell with me. And our reply should be, yes, Lord, I will seek your face. Lord, do not hide your face from me and do not turn me away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and my mother forsook me, the Lord would take me up. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in a level path. Because of my foes, and do not deliver me over to their desires, to my adversaries or false witnesses that rise up. I would have despaired. Come on. I would have despaired, lost all hope, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. See, if we're talking about what's in there and making room, David is telling us that he had times where he was filled with fear, but then there was no room there for his heart to take courage. So he had to go into the house of the Lord, spend time with the Lord, and when he was there, his confidence grew, and he reminded himself of God's faithfulness. And then there was room in his heart for courage. Isaiah 35. this is what we are called to do, and sometimes we're the people giving it out, sometimes we're the person that needs to receive it. And that can change from week to week, month to month. It says, encourage, give courage to the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. See, that's our assignment. Sometimes we're the person who's exhausted and feeble, but other times we're the ones that are able to give courage and strength. Say to those with anxiety in their hearts, take courage and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and recompense of God will come. He will save you. Four. I'm sorry, I started in three and then I went to four. 35. Yep, sorry. Thank you, Frank. Isaiah 35, 3 to 7. Then the eyes of the blind will be open, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer, come on, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. The waters will break forth in the wilderness. See, it's one thing to have water overflow its banks in the river, but how about water breaking out where there was none? In the wilderness. And streams, come on, streams in the desert. The scorched, dry land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground will have fountains flowing out. Yay. Yay. In Isaiah 41, it says, do not fear, for I am with you. See, why would God have to say that if he didn't know that we tend to fear? So we have this situation, and then we can decide what we allow into our hearts, what we allow to fill that capacity. And the Lord reminds us, do not fear. Why? For I am with you. Don't be discouraged without courage. For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Come on. Isaiah 41:10. So let's say you say, okay, Lord, well, I already know fear's there. You don't have to tell me, but thank you for showing me. So how do you and I get rid of it? Well, it gets there by a couple of causes. One is if we're believing a lie. And if we're believing a lie, then what we really need is the truth, right? Didn't Jesus make that clear? Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you truly are my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's Matthew 8. So that isn't saying that it could just happen. It's saying if you know the truth will make, cause you to be set free. The last two messages I gave, we talked about being convinced of God's love for us. See, that's one of the things that we wrestle with, isn't it? A lie. Well, God doesn't really love me. Yeah, lie, okay? And so we have to choose. Are we believing the lie or are we believing the truth? And we know that that is so clear and specific because 1 John 4:18 says there is no fear in. It doesn't say there could be a little or some. It says there is no fear in love. So we have to actually choose to reject and renounce that lie and decide to believe the truth. Because love that is mature expels all fear. Come on. Expels all fear. Is Ashton still back there? You come out, buddy. Right, Sharon? He says, big. Oh, you can leave that right like that. That is perfect. All right. So this is telling us that when love is mature, in other words, when you are confident about how much God loves you. And I renounce the lie that he doesn't love me. You know, we can't make God love us any more than he does now, and we can't make him love us any less. See, what we get confused with is whether we're doing things that please God. Like with your parents, they love you whether you're good or bad, make good choices or bad choices, but you please them when you make good choices. So God loves us regardless of our choices. Okay? He might not be pleased or is as pleased as he could be, but it doesn't change his love for us. So once we're convinced of that, it says then perfect love comes in and it casts out all fear. See you around, fear. Okay, come on. That's what it says. Yeah, you can close the door behind you. We don't want to leave the door open. Thank you. And so it doesn't say there's a wrestling match. It says love casts out. Thank you, Ashton. Appreciate that, buddy. If we fear punishment, then our love has not yet been perfected. We love because he first loved us. That's 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. When we become convinced of his love, then there won't be fear. Lies are replaced by truth. Fear is expelled by love. Then when that happens, you and I now have more capacity for the Holy Spirit to come in. Because you've gotten in there and you maybe dug out 3 or 4 of those big rocks and they're gone. See, so now you've made more room for the Lord. What else might we be full of? What else might be filling up our lives and our minds and our hearts? Well, we have an example in Scripture of a person who, even though he was blessed by the Lord, and it says the Spirit was upon him, he was filled with his own desires and his own plans. So you know the story, but we're going to rehearse it a little bit so we can apply it to today. So this is Samson. Okay, remember, he was dedicated to the Lord from his birth, and he had his long hair and all this. Well, he didn't always make the best choices. So it starts out that he decides he wants to marry a Philistine woman. Well, that wasn't supposed to be lawful according to the Jewish law. And they were actually being controlled by the Philistines. That was their enemy. The Philistines came in, overtook their country, and was now controlling them. And he has this great idea. Well, she's a looker. So I think I'm going to marry this Philistine woman. So he goes and he meets the family and he goes, oh, you know what? They're Philistines. I think I'm going to play a little joke on them. Well, how did that turn out for him? The family didn't appreciate it and they gave the daughter to someone else. Yeah. So then a little later in his life, he decides he's going to have an unmarried relationship with Delilah. Well, how did that work out for him? Yeah, the guy wasn't great on making good decisions, was he? So now he's with Delilah, and you remember the story. She tries to betray him for money from the Philistines. I would say there wasn't a whole lot of love lost there, huh? Yeah. The man just did not make the best choices. He was ruled by his desires and his lusts and his plans for his life versus the Lord's plan. So if you want to follow along with me, that's Judges 16. So I'll give you a minute. We're just going to look at the end of the story. Judges 16, starting in verse 15. Then she said to him, how can you say that you love me when your heart is not with me? You've deceived me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength is. And it came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that that his soul was annoyed to death. And he told her all his secrets and said to her, "A razor has never come to my head because I'm a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. But if my hair is shaved, then my strength will leave me and I will become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines. She said, "Come up once more, for this time he has told me all that is in his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up and brought money in their hands. She made him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his hair. Then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep. And he said to himself, "I'll go out like the other times and just shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains. And he was a grinder. So he was filled with his own plans, his own desires, these lusts that he went after and the things that he fulfilled. We have to make sure that our kingdom doesn't become more important to us than God's kingdom. Boy, and that's easy, isn't it? I mean, we start out, I want to do this and I want to do that and I have this plan and I have that plan. And you all know that I had plans and I got this job that I had prayed for all those years, and I was ready to just go. I had advanced like 3 times in 2 years, and they had said, "Well, you know, you can go to the branch that we have in Detroit, and you can do this, and you can do that." And I was thinking of all these things, and then the Lord said, "Yeah, but I have other plans." Now, I still could have made another choice, couldn't I? I still could have said, "Nah, I think I like my plans better." Okay? A lot more money there, a lot more prestige. Maybe that's the way that I want to go. So our kingdom cannot become more important than his kingdom. And if we want to make more room for him, sometimes what we need to get rid of is more of us. We need to get ourselves out of the way. Romans 12. So what does getting ourselves out of the way look like? Romans 12, starting with verse 1. "I urge you." Okay, is that a weak word? Is that like, "I suggest"? No, Paul's saying, "I urge you therefore, brethren," the writer of Romans, "by the mercies of God." In other words, come on! "To present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world." In other words, the things that the world thinks are important. "But be transformed," how? "By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." So it's telling us we need to change our way of thinking. And one of those ways of thinking is, will this thing, this decision that I'm making, this thing that I'm going after, is it going to make me happy? Isn't that how we usually think? What about if instead we paused, will it make me happy and will it make God happy? Mike was just sharing this morning that he has an opportunity for fall, but every opportunity isn't God's opportunity, is it? So we have to just pause and say, well, God, that's an opportunity and it sounds pretty interesting, but is that the opportunity that you want me to pursue? So we can know and choose God's will over our will. Philippians tells us, only think on these things. So as I was writing these words down, and you've heard it before, but I'll share it with you again, I was thinking, okay, so if this is the list of what we're to be thinking about, and this is what I usually am thinking about, how many of those would I have to cross out? So do the same thing with me as I read these. Think only on things that are true. Okay, how often am I thinking something that's not true? Only on things that are honorable. Only on things that are right. Only on things that are pure. Only on things that are lovely. Only on things that are admirable. And finally, things that are excellent. So I'm thinking, wow, I would have to cross off some things on my list. How about you? Maybe? Yeah. Think only on these things. Jesus said he only did what he saw the Father doing, and he only spoke what the Father told him to speak. He always did what he knew would please the Father. So that caused me to stop and say, but how about me? Do I always do the thing that would please the Father? Wow, that's a good question to ask this week, isn't it? I'm getting ready to go do this. Is that something that would please the Father? So that sounds almost impossible, doesn't it? But Paul, in Ephesians, while he's talking about the grace of God, he says that his prayer for us as believers is that Father God, out of his glorious, come on, listen, unlimited resources, right? Glorious, unlimited resources would empower us within through his Holy Spirit. So that's really what we need, isn't it? We need to make room in there for the Holy Spirit to come and empower us, and then that's what enables us to do the things that pleases the Father. Oh, now, come on, I thought that was worth an amen. Isn't that true that we can't do it on our own? So if we make some more room and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, it should make it somewhat easier for us to do what pleases the Father. Okay, now can I have an amen? All right, just want to make sure you get that point. And that Christ would make his home in our hearts as we trust him. So let's picture your heart like this. So we'll set aside the jar for now that has rocks and pebbles and sand and water in it. Let's picture your heart as a house. So we know the Holy Spirit is already in there. And Jesus is knocking at the door to have more control of our lives, to have more impact, to have more influence. And would we say, well, Jesus, sure, come in, but don't go past the foyer. Okay, just stay right here because I can control what happens here in the foyer. But I don't know about coming into the living room. Because if you come into the living room, you might see things that I don't want you to see. You might smell things I don't want you to smell. You might notice what's been on my television. So just stay here in the foyer, right? So he wants to have access to every area of our lives, doesn't he? And he wants to be able to say, well, can I go into the kitchen and dining room? How about the bedroom, the closets? Yeah, just don't go to the attic or the basement, right? I have stuff hidden up there and down here. Okay, but he wants full access. But if our hearts are full of clutter and fear and anxiety and thoughts about what we want and how we want to do it and when we want to do it, then we don't have as much room for him as he would like. Correct? So So the final way I want us to picture this, and then we're going to spend a little bit of time in his presence asking him to help us make some room, is that Jesus talks about, the word talks about his love, having width, height, depth, and length. So that fills every area in every dimension, correct? Oh, that's what I had my phone up here for. I even have a note. Okay. So picture that with me. Width, length, height, and depth. That's every dimension. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is for you. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand, then you will be made complete, listen, with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. How does that sound? So I think what he wants us to do today is to make some more capacity. If we're believing a lie, let him tell us the truth. Maybe we already know the truth. We just have to choose to believe the truth. Maybe there's fear in there and we can say, well, God, forgive me for not understanding your love completely, because your word tells us that when I understand your love completely, perfect love, it casts out all fear. Okay? You can picture Ashton going out the door. And then finally, God, if my life is so full of what I want and what brings me pleasure, have I made room for what you want and what brings you pleasure? So I really feel like we're to respond to this today by getting out of our seats. So maybe that to you that just means going into the aisle. That's perfectly fine. Maybe it means coming up front. But I feel like we have to demonstrate to him that, yes, Lord, I want some of those rocks removed and some of those pebbles removed. I want to make more capacity for you. And so it's not just something we're hearing, but we're responding to. Ashton, if you can bring that song up for us and maybe turn down some of the lights. We don't need it quite this bright. And then we can concentrate on spending some time with the Lord. Thank you.
not enough unless you come. We need Jesus. Cause all I want is all you are. We need you again. Not enough.
And if you're here this morning and want some personal prayer, come up front and one of the pastors or elders will pray with you. So, Father, we come before you again today. We come reminding ourselves of your faithfulness. We come reminding ourselves that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We come reminding ourselves of your great love for us. And we thank you for doing heart examinations today, for shining your light on things that we have with inside of us that you don't want us to carry, that you don't want us to bear, that you don't want taking up room in our thoughts and in our hearts, because you want us to be free. You want us to be healed. You want us to be healthy and whole. You want us to have room there for more of you. So we choose today to believe truth over lies. We choose to reject lies that you don't love us, or that you don't love us enough, or that we haven't done enough to deserve your love or to earn your love. And you're saying that's not how it works. You've already chosen to love us. You've already said, you're my precious sons and daughters. You've already said, don't I have great and awesome plans for your lives? So we choose to renounce lies and believe truth. And then, Father, we're asking that we would have a revelation of your great love for us. That we would know its depths. You can't get too far down to escape your love. The height of it, we don't lose it in the celebration. The width and length, there is nothing greater than your love. There's nowhere that we can go outside of your love, because it knows no length or height or depth or width. There is no limitation to it. And understanding that, it comes and it expels fear. So fear, we command you to leave today in Jesus' name. And any fear that we've allowed inside of us, we reach down into our hearts and we grab a rock and another rock, and we say, God, here's the fear, and we know you take it, and you get rid of it, and it's gone. And now we say, God, we've made some more room. There's some more space there. And the Holy Spirit says, can I fill that space? Can I go into that room now? Can I go into that area and empower you? And we say, yes to you, Holy Spirit. Come on. More, Holy Spirit. More, more, more. Saturate us until we are full and overflowing. Full and overflowing. You told us out of our innermost beings would flow rivers of living water, that you would make streams even in a desert. Holy Spirit, river of God, rise up with inside of us, fill us, and then flow out of us. That this week we would be just pouring out you, pouring out your love to those that need to know how much you love them. That you love them so much that you sent your Son Jesus because you wanted to have an eternal relationship. Now and forever. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We just say more and more and more. Less of me, more of you. Less of my desires, more of your desires. Less of my plans, more of your plans. Less about what would make me happy and more about what would bring pleasure to you. Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you for transforming our minds, changing our hearts, and empowering us with the Holy Spirit today. Amen, amen. Church, you're dismissed.